WMD, RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready to defibrillate your taste buds? It is time once again for one of my favorite segments of the show, Culinary CPR with, you know him, you love him. He's my culinary kitchen companion, the incomparable Luca Paris. You've no doubt seen him all over Food Network, which he pretty much owns. When he's not there, he's around the country showing folks how to make things deliciously. He's only won like a Restaurateur of the Year in his native state of New Hampshire, which if you are there, make sure you drop by Keene, New Hampshire. Visit Luca at Luca's Mediterranean Cafe. Without further ado, the maestro with the mosto of my friend, Chef Luca Paris. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Mike, I think you try to outdo yourself every week with the introduction, man. I love you, buddy. It's great to be on with you again. We are in that time of the year where it's piping hot up here. We've had a heat wave in this area, and I'm thinking about items that we could have cold plates with a hot food. So today's recipe is going to go right along that. But things are going well. We're eating good food, having a good time. The farmers markets are bustling. This is a fun time of the year all the time for me, the heat of summer, and it's just a good time of the year. So how are things going on your end?
Oh, they're going great. Like you, the farmers market is bustling with great produce, and we always talk to folks about, getting out there, be a chef, not a consumer. And that means specifically get out there and source your products. So as you just pointed out, this is a great time of the year to eat seasonally, see what's local, what's fresh, come up with some recipes. And when it comes to your proteins, know what you're getting, make sure you source them appropriately. And you've got an interesting one for us today, something a little different. So we're going to be talking swordfish, right?
Yeah, I absolutely love swordfish. It's a big staple of the Mediterranean diet, especially down in southern Italy. You'll see swordfish on a lot of places. There's a couple different types, specific swordfish and the Mediterranean swordfish. They're relatively the same animal. I love it as a fish. If it's not overcooked, I'm really careful about overcooking swordfish. It could get dry very quickly. I like it this time of the year with a fruit salsa, so I got pineapple on there, probably not the most local ingredient. But if you want to change it up and you have local watermelon growing in your area, that's great. You can do watermelon salsa.
I love
watermelon salsas too, because then you could also add some feta cheese to it, really pump it up. But I love the idea of fruit salsas. I don't totally replace the tomato in the salsa. I'll have some tomatoes, some not. But, the pineapple is the fruit that's in this one. And when you grill a pineapple, no matter how you get it, now here's the thing. These are one of those ingredients that you might not get, even this time of the year, which is weird because I've been finding produce that's not at its peak, not this beautiful produce around. So that's what made me think about doing the pineapple salsa, but grilling it. And when you grill any type of fruit, you're just bringing out some more of the sweetness. You're caramelizing the sugars. You're bringing a whole different essence of flavor to it, and it just brings your salsa to another level. So we'll talk a little bit about that. How I don't like to overcook my swordfish. I go into that medium, cook it to about medium, so it doesn't dry out. And those are just a couple of tips when it comes to that. If you're not a big fan of swordfish, that Faroe Island salmon that you and I talk about all the time would go great with any type of salsa, this type, because it's nice, oily, a big backbone fish. It has a lot of flavor to it. So it could go well with a cold salsa next to it. We've been serving it at the restaurant all week. Absolutely love it and made sure that was part of it.
And correct me, swordfish is not a fish that is amenable to farming. Is that correct? So when you're getting swordfish, you're getting wild caught.
You're always getting wild caught from what I know. I agree with, unless somebody has anything else out there, I did look it up. It's always wild caught as far as swordfish or line caught, depending on how they're fish. It's not a farmed fish. It's always, and it's available a lot of the year at reasonable pricing. So if you're a fan of swordfish, you'll love this dish. There are some people that don't enjoy it at all. And like I said, there's always other options to add to this pineapple salsa we'll talk about.
What? And it's kind of a neat, firm, you know, fleshed fish. So if you haven't, I think this is a great beginner recipe because it's not too complex for folks. It's got a great, very friendly, very forgiving flavor profile here. So if it's something that you haven't had, and you know, you and I have spoke before about, you know, the importance of sourcing and knowing what you get. And for example, you might want to get a salmon steak, but unless you know the producer and how they raise it, or you can be sure that it's wild caught, you may be getting something with some very off flavors, not the nutritional benefits that you're thinking of, but you're not going to have that with swordfish being wild caught. So why don't you walk us through the recipe a little bit there, Chef?
Sure. And I think before I do the recipe, I think one of the most important things we need to tell everybody is get to know your vendor. If it's a fishmonger, or even if it's a fishmonger in a supermarket, because there are a lot less just fish stores out there these days than when you and I were younger and we could go shopping at a fish place. But get to know them, because they, especially the people in charge, they will get you the best product.
Chef, you're going to have to talk for a second, because I can remember Columbus coming back with like the first cod, so that's how old I am.
Well, it's true though. I mean, the days of going to the meat guy, the fish guy, and the produce guy are pretty much gone because of all the big stores, but I still recommend that you find whoever that person is in charge of these supermarkets, because they've hired some really expertise people, and they will tell you what's good and what's off, what's right.
To that point, if you do happen to have some local folks like that, support them. You know, I've got a fish guy.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and you know, I've known Steve for years, and I have a good relationship with him. You know, he hooks me up all the time. And I actually just got to know, believe it or not, some craft butchers. They raise very sustainably, very animal-friendly. Actually went out and visited the farm. They have a lamb and a Berkshire, which is a heritage breed pig that they bring to slaughter each week. And I spent a night helping them break down the animals. I learned some butchery. Great opportunity. You can visit them. It's Cloven Hoof. They're on Facebook. And I think they have a webpage, clovenhoof.com, as well. You know, but you want to support those folks. So, you know, I do not get pork anywhere but from these guys, because I know the quality. And quite frankly, you can't beat either the price or the flavor.
Exactly.
So if you have an opportunity, get out there and know them.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that, and get to know those people. So let's get to the recipe. We're talking about 2 cups of fresh pineapple that are going to be grilled in large pieces. So you're going to trim the pineapple, then cut them into bigger pieces, put them on the grill. You're going to get some of that char mark. You're going to get, you know, if you're using a grill pan indoor, that's fine too. It'll just bring out, by warming up the pineapple, you're going to be opening up the sweetness, you're going to be bringing it out. If you have a pineapple that's not totally ripe, that's okay, because you're really going to bring more flavor to that pineapple and almost ripen it as you're grilling it. The other thing is, you get a medium onion, you're going to peel that, you're going to grill it into bigger pieces as well, and then you're going to dice that, so you have the onion's going to be cooked, the pineapple will be grilled. The swordfish, the olive oil, I love fresh basil, fresh mint in my salsa, zest from one lime and one lemon, about a half cup of diced red peppers, small diced, a jalapeno or a serrano pepper, seeded and minced, and salt and pepper to taste. And this is real simple. Basically what you're doing is you're doing a little bit of olive oil on the fish itself, salt, pepper, put it out over to the side. But then we've cut the pineapple, the red onion. You could add some diced tomato in here as well, fresh basil, fresh mint, the lime zest, the lemon zest, the peppers, the serrano pepper, that all goes into a bowl and gets mixed up. So you got this kind of tart. It's like any salsa you would have. It's nice tartness. You get some sweetness. You got all these different flavors kind of working together. And that's your salsa. Now, that's going to go great on anything. Whether you're going to put it on chicken one day, whether you're going to put it on fish one day, that's a salsa you could use anywhere. Like we talked about right at the beginning, you could substitute the pineapple if you have local watermelon. Why not get it? Everything else in there I could get locally, the lemon probably not, but everything else in there I could get locally, and I could get some great flavors out of that. Then we just take our swordfish. Now, basically, when I say don't overcook it, if you get about a 1-inch steak, about a 1/2 inch to a 1-inch steak, depending on how thick your steak is, you want to grill it 3 to 4 minutes on every side, on each side, and finish it off that way. You're going to get this medium rare to medium inside on your steak. This takes a little, might take a little time for you to get used to it. The thinner the steak, the less time it needs to cook. Right. You're going to press against it. If it's feeling firm, it's going to be ready. And you really don't want to do too much else to that. Salt, pepper, that. If you want to make, this is something that I had a new recipe originally, which I took out. You could take some pineapple juice and soy sauce and reduce that down. Make that a little glaze on top. You could put that as a glaze
very
if
nice.
You want. Just
very
real
nice.
Simple. Something as simple as that will give you a hint of more flavor and then this kind of sweet saltiness that adds right to it. So it's a nice little balance of sweet, salty, textures are there. When we talk about a simple recipe, I mean, it doesn't get more simple than this. I always recommend, if you haven't cooked swordfish for the first time, look up a YouTube video, watch them cook it, you know, because there's one thing I could explain to you, 4 minutes on each side, and then grill, do your hash, your grill marks. We could talk about that, but until you see it and you've done it once or twice yourself, it's a whole different feeling. But it's a simple, simple preparation that goes a long way when you're trying to enjoy the summertime weather, summertime vegetables and fruits. And I absolutely love it. We've been, like I said, been serving it this week, and it's a big hit, and I'm going to be putting it together for tonight, too.
Well, it's great. It's really reflective, I think, of a lot of, as you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, the Mediterranean approach. You know, let the flavors and things speak for themselves. Let the wonderful flavor of a swordfish speak for itself. We're just kind of coaxing it in one direction, you know, with the fruits, with the vegetables, with the seasonality and some spices and some herbs. And folks, you know, we often talk about, hey, salmon's really good for you. Other oily fish, tuna really good for you. You know, swordfish is not what we would consider one of sort of our oily fishes. So there are less of the omega-3s than would be found in some of the other types of fish, like a Arctic char, et cetera. But hey, it is still a really, really good protein to eat. So it's still packed full of a lot of nutrition. And like I said, it's just got kind of a really, you know, I guess there's a reason we serve it in steaks, because it reminds me sort of a steak of the sea, if you will. I know that often refers to the tuna steaks, but I think I'd extend it to swordfish. What do you think?
I think when I think of a steak fish, swordfish is right up there, and it's the first one I think of. Honestly, it's perfect for why I think it's also perfect for this time of the year. Out of all the types of fish out there, this one was made to grill. Out of everything out there, this was perfect for grill. It's going to hold up to the grill. It gets beautiful marks on it. It's not going to flake apart on you while you're grilling. I mean, I've had, you know, even salmon sometimes, even though it's got some texture to it, will kind of break down. If you're not careful and it gets stuck, it'll break down on your grill. So this is a fish that gets the marks, gets the flavor of the grill going on, and it's made to grill. So if you love to do grilling this time of the year, I highly recommend it. And it's as far as I know, and like you said, it's good for you. It's not a bad fish. There's nothing in it that I look at and I go, wow, I can't have this, or whether for whatever reason. And I really do enjoy it. That's cooked or grilled to that medium rare medium. It's a fish that will do that. And we'll stand up to that, where you don't have to cook it all the way through.
And one other little tip that you got me all excited about was the watermelon, because where I am, the watermelons are coming in locally, and we can get them, you know, for next to nothing at the market. Is grill? You can go ahead and grill the watermelon. So
yeah,
don't be afraid to throw the watermelon on there and grill it up as well.
Yeah, and grilling watermelon is wonderful as well. You know, it's another thing that's great too, is grilling peaches this time of the year too.
And we have those coming in as well. And don't be afraid to combine. So, you know, again, use this recipe as a guideline. You could toss in a little fresh watermelon, a little fresh peach. Both of those are just going to do absolutely fabulous with that basil and mint combination.
Oh, now I'm getting excited. I can't wait to get to cooking. But you know what? I think we hit on it a lot. We'll talk about and our sauces are non-traditional sauces. I mean, you could do this with a butter sauce if you want, or you could pan sear it or bake it in the oven and do all those things. But what I like about this whole preparation, first of all, that salsa is prepared, put on the side, and it's ready to go. You're grilling because now you're not using too many other pans, or you're not using the oven. You're outside. You could put it on the grill if you want to get some smokiness to it, depending on what type of grill you're using. You know, there's a lot of variations on the theme. You could marinate it and grill it. I mean, there's so much you could do with this fish, and that's why I like it. But I think it's important to point out, like we always do every week, it's not the recipe that you're following. It's the idea of the recipe that you should follow, and how do you make it your own, or how do you make it into the season you're in? And that's the biggest key when you get to this, because you know, we could talk about other salsas that will go great with swordfish. Whether it's, if we're not in the season where everything is super fresh, I'll take pepperoncini and I'll grill tomatoes and I'll chop those together with some of that same basil, mint, maybe some oregano, and do a Mediterranean salsa. I get some spice to it from the roasted pepperoncini, and then I have the grilled tomatoes. Now I have this kind of whole different mindset, same concept, just different, and now all vegetable. Tomato, quote-unquote, vegetable. But, you know, it really plays with a lot of flavors, so you could do it so many different ways.
And folks, Luca was throwing the vegetables in quotes because he's a really smart guy, and he knows that tomato is botanically a fruit, although we use it as a vegetable, as are olives, actually. They're a fruit, too. So right. There's your bit of culinary trivia for the day. one of the things I wanted to hit on, too, was, you know, folks are often talking about, hey, maybe it's a Sunday, you're going to do this grilling. You know, what I'd recommend is, hey, go ahead and make a big batch of this salsa, because as you said, I could see this. I know we did those lamb sliders, folks can look up that podcast.
Sure.
You could put this salsa right on top of that lamb slider that you grill up.
Sure.
Some lamb loin, etc. It'd be wonderful, on a pork chop that you grill. So certainly you can make a batch. And then you know what? You've got something that you can use throughout the week. Again, sort of using what you've got seasonally, what's available, what's very economically priced because there is an abundance of it locally. So that's going to drive the price down. By making a big batch of this, that acidity and the sugar is going to help preserve it. So it probably is actually, I always find my salsas are sort of better the next day anyway,
always.
Once those flavors have got to sit.
I love it. I love salt. Like I'll make a salsa and not use it till the next day almost on purpose unless I'm really in a bind, I need some more. I love to let it sit. You know, it's a funny thing. We're talking about utilizing it in other areas. So at lunch, real quick, we did, we're serving a watermelon gazpacho today, which is watermelon and the peppers and the cucumbers, onions, all that kind of stuff in there. A little sriracha, a little cayenne heat, kind of a little heat sweetness. And I had some of that pineapple salsa, and I'm tasting the watermelon. And I'm going, this is good. I just want to kick it to the next level. And I threw some pineapple salsa in my gazpacho, and I loved it. I brought in the fresh basil, the fresh mint, the grilled pineapple, and all of a sudden, I'm like, why didn't I come up with this before? You know, it's silly because you think, oh, wow, they're meant to be two separate things, but when you put certain things together, some of them really work, and that was fun to get together.
And folks, that's exactly what you should be doing in your kitchen. Be a chef, not a consumer. You know, use the recipes as guidelines, but look to what you have and what you can source and source correctly locally. Don't just be a collector of recipes. You know, if it says blueberries and your blueberries are being flown in from South America as it's January, it's either time to look to another recipe or do a recipe substitution. So, it's all about taking charge of your kitchen. And that's a way to take charge of your life. Very, very important. Don't you think, Chef?
I totally agree with you, man. And as usual, it's been a fun week. And thanks so much for letting me be on with you, man.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Chef Luca. Hey, folks, until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.